Hello, and thank you for downloading episode 49 of We Got This with Mark and Hal with special guest Jackson Public. Just a reminder, Venture Brothers Season 6 is out now. The 31st is past, but coming up on the 7th of February at midnight, as it turns into Monday, you can see episode 2 of Season 6, and then 6 more weeks after that of Sundays filled with joy and Venture Brothers. So check it out. It's part of Adult Swim. It's fantastic. And if you're enjoying the show, just a quick reminder to go rate and review us on iTunes so more people can find us and share the joy and yell at us on social media about our choices. And now, without any further ado, episode 49 of We Got This with Mark and Hal.
Hello, I'm Hal Lublin.
And I'm Mark Gagliardi.
Since the dawn of humanity, one issue has gone unsettled. With the fate of the world in the balance, we're here to settle once and for all. Best Saturday morning cartoon.
That's right. Don't worry, everyone. We got this.
Podcasts should have a theme song.
Podcasts should not have a theme song.
Yes, they should.
No, they shouldn't.
They sound good.
Yeah, but people are just going to skip past it.
You know what?
You're right. We got this.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Hal and I. Hal, tell the folks where we are.
We are at Astro Base Go once again. And now we're here with the other half of the creative mind of the Venture Brothers.
Yes, our previous episode was with Doc Hammer.
And now we have Jackson Public.
Yeah, so we've got the, both halves that make up the wonderful whole. We love your wonderful whole.
Awesome. Great. Thank you.
Welcome.
You love my half a whole.
Yeah. We love it so much. And we're actually here, at this point, we're recording this before the premiere of the Venture Brothers, but this is actually dropping the week after the premiere. So the first episode is out.
Sweet.
To record numbers.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing. It's amazing that that they have can still have a building for all of the joy and love that has been sent into
That's right.
Adult Swim.
That's right. So congratulations on the premiere of season 6.
Congratulations to both of you. You're both in it.
We're very happy.
Right? Yeah.
We are, and we are happy to be. And because you are...
I think you're both in the second one, too.
Well,
that's probably airing when this is dropping.
It could be. You could be listening to this right now, watching the show. Don't do that. Pick one or the other.
Yeah, don't try to multitask entertainment.
Yeah, this isn't an audio commentary track that you, like, sync up like they did with the Fisher King, okay?
Or the Wizard of Oz.
Wait a minute. There's a podcast that's just the audio synced up with the Fisher King and people talking about it?
You can download the Criterion audio commentary for the Fisher King.
Oh.
And you can watch it with the Fisher King.
Doc and I have always wanted to do one for the Iger sanction.
Oh, yeah.
We've threatened to do it, but we never got around to it.
Maybe one day, if we're lucky. But we're going to talk cartoons with you. We're going to talk best Saturday morning cartoon.
All right.
And so you've worked in Saturday morning cartoons, right?
I guess so, yes. Yes, I have.
On The Tick.
I worked on The Tick and as a writer and a storyboard artist and a character designer sometimes. And then later I worked on Disney's Doug and PB&J Otter, and then maybe a couple other things as a freelance storyboard artist. So yeah, I got a little skin in this game.
Nice.
Yeah.
And you grew up watching cartoons. I mean,
of course.
If you watch the Venture Brothers, it's no doubt that you were raised on like comic books, cartoons, sci-fi, all that stuff is all in there, represented well.
So let's talk criteria for what determines a Saturday morning cartoon.
Okay. First of all, let me ask you this. Do they exist anymore? Like, I don't think they do. Like, a few years ago that it didn't exist. I just assumed it was a mainstay. It was like church on Sunday. There always has to be a Saturday morning. But there's no programming. That doesn't happen anymore?
There's no programming schedule, I think, for networks the way that there used to be, where now people can get cartoons anywhere. So they don't necessarily have to go to television on a Saturday morning when they can TiVo something whenever it's on.
But TV's on Saturday morning.
Yes.
So what is it?
I think it's all
just golf.
It's golf. Fishing shows.
Yeah.
It's local cooking shows.
Huh.
Yep.
So like you're not, it's not, you know, Bobby Flay. It's,
no. It's like cooking catfish with Smithson and Sons.
How about talk stoop?
Yeah. Talk Stoop.
That'd be a good Saturday morning show.
Yeah. Well, Talk Stoop is, it's only on in taxis, isn't it, in New York?
I think it's on TV somewhere now.
No.
It's also on YouTube.
Have they really taken the programming inside of cabs and put it on other
media? I feel like it's one of those things that comes out, like, sometimes if I watch Saturday Night Live and then I go off and check my email and futz around the house, like, I walk back by the TV an hour later and there's stuff like that on.
Right. I can't.
You just let it go.
Yeah, if you go on like a 4-block cab ride in New York, you will learn what's going on with the Kardashians no less than 10 times.
Oh, yeah.
Somehow like cycle through the clips.
Here's an idea. Make the loop longer and give us some actual information.
Or no loop. Just let me sit in a car.
Yeah. I like the taxi cab television.
Yeah.
You don't like the taxi cab TV?
I don't.
I'm the guy that will actually hit the button to make the volume come on.
Turned it off. I had to turn it off twice. Like, came back on during my
camera. Well, the best thing is the Sandy Canyon movie reviews. Those are the Sandy Canyon. He's the best. Oh my God. I'm not the expert on Sandy Canyon. You got to talk to Hodgman or Larry Murphy about that. But
Sandy Canyon is the movie reviewer who is in taxicabs.
Yeah.
He actually just climbs in the cab. He's here, like, what I thought of joy.
Half a wormy apple. That's what I get. He's not the wormy. I forget that guy's name.
I've not lived here long enough to really get inundated with the local news flair. I'm still George Pinocchio in Los Angeles, who is basically a gay white man in a Steve Harvey suit. And he is fantastic with his. I think he uses Vaseline to keep his hair in place.
And his teeth shiny for smiling, right?
That's right. His teeth are very shiny.
So his lips don't stick to them when he smiles.
And he has John Boehner's skin tone. He is fabulous.
Fantastic.
I don't know if he's gay. He may be gay.
Yeah, that's a weird assumption to make.
I know.
He
flashy. At least flashy.
He's effeminate?
Yeah.
Is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, so you want to talk Criteria.
I want to talk Criteria for Saturday morning cartoons. Do they have to have premiered on Saturday morning, meaning can we include, I mean, the Flintstones was famously primetime. The Simpsons are famously primetime, but the Jetsons had a Saturday morning run. Bugs Bunny cartoons that began theatrically in the 1940s were still being played on Saturday mornings from 1968 up until 2000. CBS had some iteration.
I absolutely want to count Bugs Bunny because that's my choice. I don't know how soon you get into our what.
We usually take a winding road there, but I think I agree with you because it was repackaged as a show. Like the Flintstones was just rerun. The Jetsons had a second run later that was Saturday.
I don't even remember the Flintstones being on Saturday.
That's because we're too young for them. Being on Saturday.
They were more like they were just sort of in reruns in the evening.
Right. Or they were on like Channel 5 in the afternoon.
Yeah. They were selling Fruity Pebbles between the cartoons on Saturday morning. Right. Do you remember those?
And Chesterfields or something. Winston's, right? Yeah.
Yeah. It was nice that by the 80s they'd switched to selling cereal instead of cigarettes.
Yeah, exactly. I would count the Looney Tunes because there was the Bugs Bunny Roadrunner Hour. Isn't that there? That was like the main.
I mean, if you're going to be a purist, then it has to be a created for Saturday morning. Yes. Once the world realized there was a Saturday morning and it was a block that had to be filled like primetime Thursday nights does, then I would have a lot of trouble figuring this one out.
And that block of cartoons ran from what, the 70s through the 90s and tapered off in the early 2000s?
Well,
I guess so.
For the Looney Tunes, then they...
No.
Just in general, the classic Saturday morning.
Yeah, it's definitely now there's more like... It's targeted at even younger kids, I think. Like a lot of those like really simple cartoon animated things.
Oh, those like creepy...
Those tend to be like...
Things where it's like computer animation. Yeah. This is what a sphere is.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is... It's kind of like a ball, right? Yeah.
There is that cartoon that I kept seeing forever. That's the one that I would turn on Saturday morning and would just be on in the background. And it's like really rudimentary, like first step of making a Toy Story movie. And they were like centipedes or something because a centipede is just a bunch of spheres strung together.
Yeah.
Which is what it was easy for to make.
Was it the Very Hungry Caterpillar animated series? That is a real thing.
Is that a thing?
Really?
Wow.
But the paintings were all cool from Hungry Caterpillar.
Well, the caterpillar just ate his way through a book. Like, there's not really much. Unless he's like some monster that's like, he's been devouring children on Third Street. He's making his way to the mall. We've got to stop him. Like, that's the animated series I want to see. But I think it was just like, that caterpillar sure is hungry.
Right. Or you want to see the Human Caterpillar series.
No, I want to watch Human Butterfly.
The three of us have to live in a house together and solve mysteries. Like, why the hell our mouths are so into each other's...
Yeah. Steve's right. We should go check out the library. Right.
And the culprit is always one of them with a rubber mask on. Oh, it was. he was trying to scare the other two away.
Yeah.
Speaking of the culprit always being someone in a rubber mask, let's start with the old stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. And we'll work our way forward. Let's start with Scooby-Doo. What else came around the same time as Scooby-Doo? We're a little young for this.
We're talking late 60s.
We're talking late
60s.
Was that late
70s
that came
out? That
debuted
in 69, I think. Wow. That's when it started. So there was a lot of Hanna-Barbera stuff happening at that time.
And Hanna-Barbera
would there have been like
Saturday morning? This is Huckleberry Hound and Yogi Bear.
Yep,
and
Snagglepuss. The Laugh Olympics came later on.
Oh my God, no.
I know all of this from USA Cartoon Express. They would just do the Laugh Olympics every Saturday
morning. They would replay all that stuff. Megilla Gorilla.
The faces you're making.
Grape Ape.
The faces you're making right now.
There's so many bad
Jackson,
ones.
This is not your favorite era of cartoons.
But it's the one I grew up in. Maybe I have such a bad reaction to it because I realized that I just devoured every one of these things when I was a kid, and it was all part of this great Saturday morning thing, but like, then one day I realized they were all awful and I didn't actually like any of them. I was just caught up in the thing.
It was what you had.
I had, yeah. And so now I just cringe. Like the way when you see a picture of yourself with like your hair in high school, you know? And you go, oh, what was wrong with me? Why did I do that?
So you don't think that Scooby-Doo...
I think Scooby-Doo's solid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's...
And I do say all of this believing that they all contributed to this wonderful environment of, you know, the Saturday morning and the cereal bowls and it was all a great experience, but most of them were crap.
True. Yeah.
What's going to come out of there into the finals? Are there any that you remember from that era being, this is an honorable mention, Scooby-Doo, I will defend Scooby-Doo because as a kid I grew up, that of all the Hanna-Barbera cartoons.
Well, and it had a big impact. We're still talking about it. We're still trying to make movies about it. I think they're making a Scooby-Doo series now. I think I can't hire good storyboard artists because they're all working on it.
Scooby-Doo and Shaggy are still walking around Universal Studios and driving around a mystery machine at Universal Studios Hollywood.
Yeah. All right.
It has staying power. I do want to honorable mention Snagglepuss only because
Stitchlow.
Exactly. The only reason is because Morgan Freeman quoted him when he won his first Oscar.
Really?
He got up on the stage and went, "Heavens to Murgatroyd." That was the first thing. And so my friend Jordan and I, those all we get say, like, just a bunch of Hanna-Barbera, like, "I hate those Mises to pieces." Like,
how many of those kids? There are seven deadly sins. Mises.
Oggy doggy and daddy doggy. All those are El Kabong.
El Kabong.
Yeah, Quick Draw McGraw is pretty great. What about like a Hong Kong Phooey? He was Saturday morning.
God!
Did you just get a headache from that? Stress headache from Hong Kong Phooey?
That was one I really wanted to like.
Yeah.
Because it's like it had karate.
He's number
in
one
it.
Super guy.
Like it somehow felt comic booky or something to me. And then it just always disappointed every damn time. And it was like the 70s had no shame about just painting life the way it was in all its like brown and green gritty crap hole glory, like, you know, like,
yeah,
like all, like, even Sesame Street is like a slum, you know. And like kind of the 70s everywhere in America was a slum. It was French Connection and mean streets everywhere.
New York was just like a dirty shoe. Like
I know, and the cartoons reflected that. I mean, Fat Albert was, which also deserves honorable mention, I think.
Absolutely. Now it seems like, I'm sure, I haven't watched it since Bill Cosby basically was proven
that ousted from the planet.
But I'm sure if I watched it now, all I would think about the whole time is
just every character has a giant rapo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Mushmouth has like a vial of powder poured in everybody's coat.
Oh,
the junkyard has like a list of victims.
So we're eliminating Cosby right off the bat, much in the way we eliminated, George Washington for owning slaves outright.
Yeah. Oh, Jefferson. Jefferson was eliminated.
So was Washington.
Yeah, eventually, yeah. The people who owned
Washington
people.
Let his go, though, I think, right? Eventually. Or Washington, like, wasn't that cool with it.
He wasn't that cool
and
with
Jefferson
it.
And Jefferson supposedly wasn't that cool with it, but kept him for their own safety. Yeah. He was like, yeah, we shouldn't have him, but if you let him go now, it's going to be nuts.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, so how did we get that quickly to slavery from the Cosby? You know what? Let's not rehash.
There we go.
So the only one that's going to come out of this era intact and in making it into the finals for this is Scooby-Doo, correct?
Scooby-Doo, no Captain Caveman.
Captain Caveman was – I mean, there's a lot of honorable
mentions.
Wait,
what was he a spinoff of? Or was he?
He was just one of
the – I don't know.
Like
right? Old mountain men who carried stuff in their beards?
It was very similar to – he looked like a roadie for like Alabama or something.
Hold on. What do you need? Quarter inch?
You know what?
It was just in the hood of his club. He was a bunch of adapters.
You know what super sucked is Speed Buggy.
Oh, yeah.
Which was just – it was Scooby-Doo if you swapped a dune buggy for a dog.
Yeah.
It was like the same exact setup, except it was a talking dune buggy.
Yeah.
All right, that's pretty terrible.
Because they're all pale imitators of Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
But Hanna-Barbera did some great work. I mean, Yogi Bear is a classic.
Yeah. Certainly an iconic character.
But yeah, I guess because to me, I know all of these more from their repackaging on USA and the Laugh Olympics.
I was going to say, you've only seen the Dan Aykroyd film, Yogi.
Yeah, I've only seen that. I've only ridden on the Fantastic World of Hanna-Barbera in Orlando. That's how I know all of my cartoons.
Oh, you know what gets honorable mention for me? Although maybe you know the history of it and will knock it down for disqualifying it. The Pink Panther stuff.
Yeah?
Oh,
Pink
yeah.
Pink Panther's great.
Yeah.
Are we including the with the anteater?
Yeah. Yeah, the little the guy who eats Bing Crosby ant.
Yeah.
Or Dean Martin ant. What was it? He was more Bing Crosby.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I would definitely put Pink Panther in there. He's great.
Sure. And okay.
And you can't beat the Henry Mancini theme.
And the little screamy guys that would chase the Pink Panther around.
Yeah.
They'd fall off something and just go.
Yeah. I will not include Mr. Magoo.
No. Oh.
Mr. Magoo,
I wish I could
look
curse.
How funny he is blind.
I wish I could curse on this show when you mention some of these things. Yeah, F him.
Mr. Magoo may be the only one that did his own Christmas Carol, though. There is a Mr. Magoo's Christmas Carol out there that I tried watching recently.
Yeah.
Blind Scrooge.
It's got its moment. Yeah. A one joke. What kid doesn't love handicapped old people?
Yeah, there was a lot of thought put into that one.
Yeah.
It's going to really light the kids up.
Yeah.
Make them too.
Can we make him like, I don't know, like a 60-ish, is a 70? How old is Magoo?
Here's what we do. We're going to mix half Harold Lloyd, half this guy I know from my bus stop.
Yeah.
Who the bus has to kneel when he gets on and make everyone late.
On the other hand, I was a kid who like enjoyed Barney Miller. So maybe I would have liked.
So you even liked your gritty 70s in sitcom form.
Yeah.
How about we get – here's a subgenre, and this kind of spans time, which is television shows that were adapted into animated form, like Gilligan's Planet.
Sure. The Real Ghostbusters.
Real Ghostbusters. Happy Days. The Happy Days cartoon.
Muppet Babies.
I forgot that was
Muppet
a thing.
Muppet Babies.
Muppet Babies doesn't
– Muppet Babies is going to be
totally
near
count.
Muppet Babies I want to save for later because that's going to get close.
There is right. Punky Brewster.
Punky Brewster. They made a cartoon.
With Glomer the Alien, who I think was voiced
by Howard Mandel. See, now we really have to dissect because there's a criteria for this little subgenre.
Right. Yeah.
Before because like a lot of these aren't direct adaptations. Like Mr. T was a live action television personality.
Mr. T.
The Harlem Globetrotters were real. They didn't have like a live action TV show, but they do specials or whatever.
They were on Scooby-Doo a million times.
A lot of work. They did a lot, but they don't really see them on television.
Ooh,
anymore.
Apes. Planet of the Apes.
Oh, yeah, there's a Planet of the Apes.
Yeah. I think I watched that.
Was that Funimation that did that? Or
Filmation or one of them.
Filmation, something like that.
It's got that stink to it.
I think it's Filmation, yeah.
All of these different companies that created cartoons all had their very distinct look for them. Hanna-Barbera had one look. What else was Funimation?
They did one that was like a superhero team. I can never remember.
Did
the
they
name
do
of it.
Tarzan?
They did Tarzan.
Yeah, and every once in a while there'd be a rotoscopy looking moment in it, yeah. And that would like you'd kind of love it, but it would give you the creeps.
Yeah, they did. I think Hercules, maybe.
Right.
I think Thunder the Barbarian was Filmation.
Now let me ask. You
I watched. I watched that the way people watch Girls. Like I watched it to complain about it the next day. You know,
you
because I was like, this
it?
Is this is a ripoff yeah. of Star Wars. Is they're just stealing little pieces yeah. from? Yeah,
I would throw all that out.
Is a reason that is a reason that a lot of this that a lot of these cartoons have these specific looks and some look different than others. This thing you were talking about the other day, the 3 frames versus 2 frames. Could you explain that
right.
briefly?
American animation is traditionally, we call it in the business, we animated on twos, which means a new drawing every other frame. And that's what gives you the more fluid American animation look. Anime is usually on threes, so you're getting, you know,
weird trails less, behind people.
Yeah, you're less, getting fewer drawings, mm-hmm. and so I hate anime myself because I don't. I guess that you know the perception of motion is thrown off for me or right. whatever.
And there's that, yeah.
And it, yeah,
so
it's,
I wonder
it's
if
got
that's
a ghostly
some of the cartoons that give them that
feel.
Like
maybe.
The little, like I can think right now. I'm like the Littles had to be one of those. Some of these other ones that you're mentioning. They had to be on the threes. Danger Mouse, maybe on the threes. The
oh, sure, sure,
show.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, they yeah. have that sort of – they look like they're from not – they don't look like American animation.
Right.
Yeah, but that was British.
Inspector right. Gadget,
Thames, probably.
Inspector Gadget. Yeah, that was yeah. definitely that's in, on the threes, uh-huh. on the threes feeling. What about – do you remember Karate Cat?
No.
Because that when I watched as a kid, that was the 6 a.m. Like, the 6 a.m. block is where you put the garbage that
yeah.
most kids don't
also, the, like, the 1 p.m. block, like, the trailing
yeah.
off block.
Exactly.
Yeah.
yeah. That's where you get, like, Saved by the Bell, the third generation.
Yeah, that's the kids that are waking up at noon that don't care about cartoons yeah. anymore.
Or stoners that are just yeah. waking yeah. up and just want something to roll over and put on.
Yeah. White hey, cards. Here's an idea. Yeah. Well, let's give all the stoners out there a TV show that starts at 8:30 in the morning.
Yeah, exactly. But there was
a or yeah, you give the adolescent. Since the one with dawning sex drives,
exactly.
you give them a Sweet Valley High or a Saved by the Bell. Yeah.
But yeah, Karate Cat and Minute Mouse were, I used to watch that. I don't remember a thing about it except for the theme
Wait,
song.
Wait, no.
Is it
Courageous Cat?
Courageous Cat?
Yeah.
Was that Courageous Cat?
And Minute Mouse.
And Minute Mouse. Why am I calling it Karate Cat?
Yeah.
I don't know why.
That was like a 60s
cartoon.
I thought
it was Minute Mouse.
Yeah. That looked like it was drawn with Sharpies. And I liked that one when I was really young just because it felt like Batman. Or it was like the closest I could get.
Right.
Oh, one of the biggest honorable mentions, I think. Mm. Super Friends, for
yes.
sure.
Yes.
Super Friends, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And then Superpowers later, it became.
Right.
They wanted
and
to
there was,
toys.
I think, a Filmation Batman?
Maybe so.
Don't was quote that, me on the animation was company,
that the
but I feel like there was a Batman that was, yeah, they would do Batman and Tarzan, like, back to back, the, like, more serious kind of drag ass ones.
Yeah, we can honorable mention. We're talking about the super friend, the ones with Gleek.
With Casey Kasem.
Yeah, Gleek the super monkey.
Sure. Well, you had the Wonder Twins was later.
That was super
right, bad. Before that you had what, Jan and...
Wendy and Marvin.
Wendy and who's Jan? What's she from?
The Brady Bunch.
I think there was an animated Brady
Wendy
Bunch,
Wendy and
too.
Marvin.
All right, let me ask you this then. Were, it
oh, wait,
like
what were the Wonder Twins' names? Was one of them Jan?
Jan and Xana.
There we go.
Yeah.
Okay, there's my confusion. Sorry.
Since we're seeming to do this somewhat chronologically, somewhat in blocks, let's talk about the strange-looking animation, the on the threes, if you will, and the animations based on previous live-action things.
Uh-huh.
Is there anything that's going to make it out of either of those two categories into the finals?
I don't think so.
Really? The new Ghostbusters was great.
I liked it okay. I liked it because Lorenzo Music was Venkman and mm-hmm. he later was
See
Garfield.
Well, this is where our slight age difference
right.
factors in because right. I was kind of aging out of Saturday morning when that came on.
And I was too.
But
was
you would have had you would have
so,
had
yeah, and I was aging out when like it I not I don't think it was a Saturday morning cartoon, He-Man and stuff like that.
Oh, that was all
like,
yeah, those were all afternoon shows,
yeah, yeah.
but yeah, those were
Okay. So there's nothing's going to come out of the, arguably Muppet Babies is based on another,
right.
But I'm going to keep Muppet,
which is a high quality show.
The most.
I wasn't super into it. I was maybe getting a little old for it.
Oh, I was.
At the time,
I
thought it was really good.
Super into Muppet Babies. That was my favorite.
Very well done. When they would open the doors and have like a silent film.
Yeah,
some silent film.
Yeah, they would right open a door and there would be an actual live action clip, and they would have their
right. Yeah, I thought that was inventive and cool, and I was attracted to it for those reasons.
I'm going to give that one an honorable mention out of that group. What about of the strangely animated ones? This is best foreign film Oscar category right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's Speed Racer, I think, was a Saturday morning cartoon that was shown here. Right. Like, they're all...
Was it a Smurf? Was it a good one?
The Smurfs. That's a Belgian cartoon that made it here.
Yeah.
But that was a purely American cartoon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? That was a Belgian figurine set.
It wasn't the cartoon. The cartoon was made in the United States?
Yeah, for sure, right?
All right. Well, we'll get to that when we move into the later 80s. So there's nothing out of this...
Not that I would take.
I'm pulling Muppet Babies.
No, not Star Trek, not Apes.
Yeah, I mean, you could pull one out of Star Trek. I mean, they're both fine.
Right.
I don't know if either of them would be like the best for me.
Right. All right. Yeah, sure.
So let's move on now to
droids.
Oh yeah. Now we're really in the 80s. The droids.
I was just gonna say, let's go. We're gonna go into the center of the 80s right now. We're gonna go into like the
right. So now we're pushing into Mr. T territory.
The 80s gave us Mr. T, the Smurfs,
Gummy Bears,
bouncing here and there and everywhere.
Right.
It gave us Garfield and Friends.
Yeah. See, this is where I'm starting to check out because I was born in 1971. So
do you like Garfield though? Are you a Garfield fan?
I think I liked the comic strip for a little while and had those, you know.
The little
skinny books, like, next to the toilet. Sure.
Yeah.
When I was a kid,
And then when I discovered The Far Side, I was like, everything else is crap. You know, like, yeah.
That was the art house period.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a good animated series, but the strips are so much better.
Yeah. And U.S. Acres was... U.S. Yeah, Acres,
which is
I thought,
all
was
garbage.
Actually better than I thought U.S. Acres was better than the Garfield segment.
And did you reject Heathcliff as a Garfield ripoff?
Absolutely.
Yes, yeah. He's
in your heart.
Yeah. In my heart, I know.
Right.
The only good thing Heathcliff ever did is let me know what a dead fish skeleton looks like.
Yeah.
Because I always picture Heathcliff with a fish skeleton on a silver tray.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was what he.
That was all that Heathcliff did. He was just a junkyard Garfield, right?
And he tragically choked to death on fish bones.
Really
that
sad.
That was his death.
Before we leave the 70s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you're done as soon as we leave the 70s.
Do you remember? I'm trying to think of some of those ones that would come on later. That just sucked. That it was like, it was time for me to go about my day. And like, do you remember the one that was like, it was a cat and he was just Charlie Chaplin. He was like a tramp cat. Was it called Tramp Cat?
It might have been called Tramp Cat.
What was it called?
It was, they're like, that Charlie Chaplin was pretty popular 80 years ago. Let's make a cat. Yeah, right?
Not thinking that cat would also look like Hitler.
Right. Yeah. You are one armband away from inappropriate.
Yeah. No, that cat is homeless Hitler in hiding in plain sight.
The show took place in Argentina.
Yeah, exactly.
Buenos Aires, to be exact.
He's always just been a carpenter. That's what he said. Just a weird accent.
He dabbles in painting still, but...
They're not very good, but do not tell him that.
Yeah, Little Kittler coming this Saturday. Oh. 10 a.m.
All right, so let's go into the 80s cartoons then now.
Sure.
Hal and I may have to...
Captain Planet, period.
Remind you of a few. How
Captain
dare you.
Captain Planet.
Oh. Or was he more like 1990? Like
Captain
that?
Planet was early
90s. Was he
90s.
More that like minute when the 80s was turning into the 90s?
Yeah.
Like he's the Vanilla Ice.
he's the 91. Everything's that... Okay. I think of 91 as being that year where everything was still a little 80s. Yeah. But it was like there's also Nirvana.
It was a crossover.
Right, because he was like an Earth Day tie-in, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like... They kind of brought Earth Day back in 90.
I think that was the big.
Wait, that was like the big, like, hey, remember there was an Earth Day? Yeah. Let's have a big concert. I went to the concert in Central Park with the B-52s and.
No kidding. In 1990 or the previous one?
90, I guess.
Don't forget to sort your trash. that was the big B-52s number. the Smurfs is kind of an iconic. I was way into it when I was a kid. Even having, I had the Atari 2600 game. Which was the theme playing over and over again as you navigated as a Smurf. And then you'd go into a cave and they would switch and play the theme, but in a minor key.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, oh, this is scary. Look at that purple spider.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah. It was really, so that, for that reason, it's dear to me. Would I watch it now and enjoy it? Probably not as much at all.
Oh, yeah. And the 80s is also, I would say, the decade of the toy tie-in. Right?
Yes.
Which is kind of, the Smurfs are kind of part of that in a way.
Yeah. Because so many of those figurines.
There were some video games, right, that got turned into?
Video games, yeah. There
was there a Q-Bert cartoon? There was a Q-Bert cartoon.
Yeah. And then there was Captain N, the Nintendo, where it was this kid who has like a power glove and gets transported into Nintendo.
That is pretty shameless.
And it had Kid Icarus and Mother Brain, I think, from Metroid was the main bad guy, but like Popinski was in it and stuff.
Was there a Pac-Man? There was a Pac-Man, wasn't there?
There was a Pac-Man.
Was there a Ms. Pac-Man?
It was the whole family.
The Pac-Mans.
Yeah,
not just in that Nintendo thing. Pac-Man had its own.
Yeah,
cartoon.
That's what we're talking about. Right. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Donkey Kong.
Q-Bert were together.
Did Donkey Kong get one?
I think he was a character in the later Nintendo one, but I don't think he had his own.
What was the story with the Snorks? You mentioned Q-Bert and the Smurfs
ripoff.
Yeah, it was underwater Smurfs who looked like Q-Bert.
Yeah. Right. Or the Philadelphia.
The Philly fanatic. They were like little Philly fanatics underwater.
All right, so we're keeping the Snorks is going into the finals.
Yeah, good sure. Snorks, Heathcliff.
Yeah. Heathcliff.
That's our head to
head. Kittler. Yeah.
What about DuckTales and Darkwing Duck? Those were some great Saturday morning cartoons that came out in the late 80s, maybe even early 90s. Disney started doing these where they had Darkwing Duck, Tailspin, Rescue Rangers, DuckTales, and there was a fifth, Gummy Bears. So Disney had this run of cartoons in the early 90s, I guess, late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
Anything come out of that? Darkwing Duck was great.
They were really good looking, but who gives a crap?
Yeah, I mean, I like
Gummy Bears. I don't know. People love Darkwing Duck. I never watched it myself.
I think they're all fine. I wouldn't pull any of them out as the best.
Sure.
They're all decent though. They're good. Like, they're fine. I don't think Darkwing Duck even, here's the thing to tell, like, the staying power. If you go to a Disney park, I don't think you're going to find Darkwing Duck. Maybe in Orlando, because it's the size of like three cities. So now we're in the 90s.
Now we've
Are we ready to leave the 80s? There's so
G.I.
many
Joe.
There's so many visual crimes in the 80s that we really we should go on the internet and look them up so that we can
I actually really liked Inspector Gadget.
It was a whole cartoon.
Hang on a second. I want to go back to Inspector Gadget. I want to know why this is not getting the respect it deserves.
Because it's basically Get Smart with
the same voice.
Right, but how great was Get Smart?
Get Smart was particularly
to a child.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's fine, but I'm not a huge...
He's got a crappy little girl hanging out with him and a dog who's funny, right? Yeah.
And she's got that book that's a computer, and the dog has a microphone. And stuff. Like, it's fine.
Okay? I don't know about you, but I even early on in childhood, I bristled at anything that was clearly aimed at me as a child the inclusion of characters that probably an executive was like, well, they need a kid to relate to or whatever. Yeah. I would go, ew, no, get him out of there.
All right.
Exactly. I feel
you don't even want Robin.
The Snorks are coming out of the 80s.
Yeah, I think the Smurfs, because they were a phenomenon, should probably be included.
Sure.
All right. Now we're moving into the 90s. Then
wait. When did I feel like Mighty Mouse should get?
There were three versions of Mighty Mouse.
And I mean, like the postmodern one,
the John Felicity one.
Yeah.
I think that was late.
That was probably early 90s. 88, 89.
Yeah,
or something.
I think Chris Felici got fired from, or there was some like rumor that Mighty Mouse was doing cocaine in one episode.
Oh yeah.
Um,
But that was, yeah, that was the subversive thing that was, it was one of those things that grown-ups would watch, but kids didn't.
Yeah.
It's not a cartoon, but when did Pee-wee's Playhouse premiere?
That was mid to late 80s.
Yeah, I would, you know what? I would give that honorable mention as a cartoon, even though not technically a cartoon.
It did feature a cartoon. The cave cartoons would always show one.
And Penny, yeah, who was a claymation.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, before we jump fully into the 90s, there are some superhero. There was Spider-Man. From the mid to
Spider-Man and his amazing friends in the 80s, right?
For which
I did
Firestar
watch that.
Created.
Right. Firestar and Iceman were his amazing friends.
Wasn't the Hulk in like an hour-long block with them? Because there was a Hulk cartoon by the same
company. Yeah, I can sort of picture the title. Yeah.
And because later on they showed them on USA Today, like every day at 4 you would watch that.
Right. Oh, the Fantastic Four cartoon where they couldn't have a Human Torch.
Oh, with Herbie?
Yeah.
The robot?
Yeah. That's
late
70s or maybe like 80, 81?
That is a 70s.
Did they lose the rights to the Human Torch through some finagling?
I mean, the urban legend is that they didn't want little kids lighting themselves on fire and thinking a fire guy was the coolest thing. So they created a stupid robot.
Really, like a robot that looks like Rex from Star Tours, the original robot captain. Like, why is this?
I'm getting used to my programming.
Yeah. It was like the Fantastic Three and then this robot.
Right.
Is what they should have called
it. Yeah.
But later on, they
and really, back. Like, is the Invisible Girl that fantastic? That, you know, I mean, to the target audience of little boys, they would have traded 10 Sue Storms for a Human Torch.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. While we're on the topic of comic book characters, what about the X-Men?
Yeah.
That's X-Men Saturday morning cartoon.
That's early 90s, right?
Yeah.
Because that was on either right before or right after The Tick. That was Fox getting into the
cartoon business. Talk about The Tick, too, cartoon which business. Was a pretty great cartoon.
The Tick was a fantastic cartoon.
I liked that cartoon.
Yeah.
It's a good cartoon.
It's pretty fantastic.
You're going to have to recuse yourself for the next 5 minutes of this conversation.
Right, right.
You know what, Hal? Why don't you and I recuse ourselves from the next 5 minutes of this conversation as well? And you can listen to some of the other amazing stuff that Maximum Fun has to offer.
After these messages,
we'll be right back.
Hey, Max Fun listeners, I'm Dave Holmes. And if you've been missing my show, International Waters, you've been missing this.
I am aroused, but I have zero idea.
Really?
Sorry.
Name a British food lady.
A British food lady? Julia Childs?
I'm afraid I can't accept
that's
that.
Not.
No, it's not Julia. It's no.
Come on, you must know your British food ladies.
International Waters, a panel show where U.S. and U.K. comedians battle for pop culture supremacy. Subscribe right now on iTunes or at MaximumFun.org.
Hey, I'm Barbara Gray.
I'm Brandi Posey.
And I'm Tess Barker.
Together, we make up the Max Fun podcast, Lady to Lady.
Each week, we welcome a kick-ass lady guest.
We talk about our lives, our dreams, and the terrible decisions we've made that still haunt us.
Mm-hmm. We've had on great comedians like Aisha Tyler and Margaret Cho, plus screenwriters, doctors, authors, you know, anyone who's willing to be as open as we are.
It's all a lot of fun. That's us, Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret? Neither.
And we're back.
Hi.
Hey again.
We realized over the commercial break, because we're talking while those commercials are airing, this is all happening live, that we forgot a couple of really important pieces.
Right.
Including
the interstitials
yes.
of Saturday morning, which make it more of this event, this thing that you're taking part of, this family of shows.
Did you have
experiences? I loved Schoolhouse Rock.
Yeah.
Time for Timer. some of them were annoying as hell. I loved In the News because I was a little smart kid who read Weekly Reader.
And watched Bonnie Miller.
Weekly Reader.
I did not like Chopper.
Okay.
Exercise is good, but exercise your choppers too. Right.
There was Slim Goodbody was a Saturday morning character.
Yeah, I didn't like the preachy ones. Timer was just like he was telling you how to make a snack.
Right.
You know, like the other ones are like, hey, brush your teeth. And you're like, get out of here.
Take care of yourself.
You brush your teeth after you eat all those Lucky Charms. Try getting those squeaky marshmallows out of your back teeth.
Yeah, exactly. You'd have like something tell you to take care of your teeth, and then it's like Cocoa Krispies. Now with more sugar. Yeah. It's just a bowl of brown sugar.
Yeah.
Hoarding your
mouth. And this is back when Super Golden Crisp was called Super Sugar Crisp.
Yes.
And he was sugar. Is he still Sugar Bear? Or
no,
are they
he
just
was
not
the
even,
Golden Bear.
He's
not.
He was Sugar Bear.
In the state of California.
Who was like also Bing Crosby, wasn't he?
Yes.
Or
was.
Dean Martin. He was like, hey, I'm a Sugar Bear. Yeah. I'm going to go hang out with Mr. Salty.
The Toucan Sam was Peter Lawford.
Oh.
Hello, everybody.
Absolutely. I love Toucan Sam. I didn't love Fruit Loops.
Fruit Loops were my favorite.
Let's just as a side note, right. what would you eat while you were watching Saturday Morning
Fruit
Cartoon?
Loops or Golden Grahams? Those were my two.
Golden Grahams.
Yeah, that's an old man.
I'm a Graham Flour fan.
Were you
like, Graham Flour?
Yeah, man. You put some chocolate chips and marshmallows in there too. You have s'mores cereal.
Walton's and Eight Is Enough. That's so
what Golden Grahams? They're a delicious sweet cereal.
I didn't like Cheerios either. It just seemed
Cheerios are
my uncool whitewashed friends would you know
have some Cheerios.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah.
We had a kid who lived down the street growing up who was really, really rich. And he, his family always bought the bag cereal from the bottom underneath.
Malt-O-Meal
cereals. And he convinced me as a child that that was how they got rich, was saving money by not getting the store, by not getting the name brands and just getting store brand cereal. And that's why they had a trampoline. So, I will give a shout out to my Malto meals from this trampoline over here. I'm getting cereal everywhere.
I'm gonna maybe go Cocoa Puffs on this one.
Cocoa Puffs
sounds great.
Yeah, I did. I think I'd do Honeycombs. Yeah. I would do Cap'n Crunch.
Anything that
I did actually, even though I didn't like the cartoon, I really liked Smurfberry Crunch.
Yeah, it was great.
That was pretty good. Yeah,
I was not allowed to have sugar cereal for the most part. Every once in a while. The best.
Join me in my old man world over here.
I wasn't allowed.
Mueslix.
Once I got to college, I was like all the time sugar cereal, whatever I could get.
It's cream of wheat for you.
Yeah, exactly. Cream of wheat.
Steel cut oats, just like you like.
But we don't put any liquids in it. I just want you to have it with raspberry.
What is cream of wheat? Is cream of wheat just like, hey, instead of making oatmeal, we'll just use flour? Is that like
just magical? It's like a magical grits.
There's farina too.
Yeah, it's like farina.
Yeah. These were all things we didn't eat.
I had like honey.
You were sitting in front of your cartoons, with a curly straw in your Cocoa Puffs milk.
Yeah, for me it was Honey Nut Cheerios. But at one time I did get the C-3PO cereal, which came out right I think before or during Droids, and it was terrible. But we got a second box just because it had C-3PO on it.
Right,
that
sure.
And then Droids comes
brainwashed along. We were by Star Wars.
And Droids was terrible. I couldn't watch a cartoon about Star Wars.
Yeah.
Because it had my two least favorite characters.
No, Droids and the Star Wars Christmas special are my first childhood lessons in disappointment. You know?
Yes.
Because
you were of an age when you had to watch it earnestly instead of ironically.
Right. And you don't understand what's happening. You're watching. You're so excited that the Star Wars Christmas special is coming on or that just a cartoon with the droids in it. And then, you know, and you're sitting there and you're nodding your head like, uh-huh, uh-huh. And you're experiencing disappointment, but you can't figure it out. It's like being like when you're coming down with a cold or something. You're like, something's wrong, but I can't put my finger on it because it's not possible that Star Wars might be bad. Something's wrong with me, right?
I'm damaged as a person.
Yeah.
What have I done?
All right. So should we get back to
the 90s?
Let's get back to 90s cartoons.
Come to the Honeycomb Hideout!
I will start with what I think is going to be on the short list for me anyway, 90s cartoons. It may have been in an afternoon block, but I don't know. Is Animaniacs. Was that Saturday morning?
I believe that started Saturday morning.
Yeah. Right,
along with Tiny Toons.
Tiny Toons is fine. Animaniacs is brilliant.
Is it?
Pinky and the Brain was
Animaniacs
fun.
Was because
Pinky and the Brain is kind of fun. It all had such a mincy pleased with itself Hollywood insider kind of stink to it that it really rubbed me the wrong way a lot of times.
It was smug.
It was very meta.
It was smug. Yeah, and it was, yeah.
It was, for me, it was.
It would get meta in a way that annoyed me. And, like, I didn't like the Animaniacs themselves. They were annoying and they just wouldn't stop singing.
But they taught. That, I think, they gave, they filled the gap that Schoolhouse Rock had left. For me, I didn't have, I had Animaniacs. That was the only educational version of a cartoon. And it wasn't terribly educational.
Because you were poor?
Yeah. I could not go to school. Well, we had just this one big quilt we were making for our one bed that my family all slept in.
Uh-huh.
I grew up in Tennessee.
That stuff is good. I really like, I love The Tick. I think it should not have been on Saturday mornings. It was too smart for Saturday mornings.
So you think Animaniacs was another one that was too smart for Saturday mornings?
I think it was smart. You know, it appealed on a bunch of different levels, which The Tick did too. I just feel like the people who read The Tick that wanted to see an animated version of it probably weren't going to see it on Saturday morning. I think the network, I think that was a mistake the network made. The X-Men, on the other hand, were so saturated as characters that for me is a really, really good animated series.
Yeah.
Because it follows the
comics. Do you want to keep X-Men
faithfully enough?
I on the list?
Sure.
And there were a bunch.
But I mean, if they're going to be on the list, then the granddaddy of them all, I think one of the best cartoons ever is the
Batman the animated series.
Was that a Saturday morning?
That was an afternoon series. That was weekday afternoon.
Really?
Yeah.
We actually did, when we did our best Batman episode, we picked Kevin Conroy.
Huh.
Because he's so great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And has been.
And has been the most Batmans.
Yes. He's been the most of the Batmans.
He's the video games and movies and television.
I'm leaving Animaniacs in there because I know it. I know that it's.
Yeah, your generation can have that.
Oh, come on. All right, so here is our list as it stands now.
Uh-huh.
Okay. The things that we have pulled from each of the eras, and this is what we're working with. We're working with 7 cartoons.
Okay.
They are Scooby-Doo, The Pink Panther, Super Friends, The Smurfs, Looney Tunes, Animaniacs, and the X-Men cartoon.
Did you say Muppet Babies already?
Muppet Babies.
You forget Muppet Babies.
Hey. Don't forget those Muppet Babies. Don't you forget.
I've made my pitch for both Animaniacs and Muppet Babies.
Right, but here you go. You can cross this off the list right now. No Looney Tunes, a.k.a. the Bugs Bunny Roadrunner Hour, no Animaniacs. It just doesn't exist.
You know what? That is...
Because it was them trying to put that genie back in the bottle. Yeah.
That's true.
All right.
And sell it as lightning.
I just wanted to give them their due.
Yeah, yeah.
Brilliant
cartoon.
I'm willing to cross off those two. Both in there. I guess I just like meta stuff.
Sure.
And look, it worked. It adjusted.
I'm not saying it's not a quality...
Right.
It was made for
cartoon.
It came out.
Wait, why are you
right
crossing
time.
Off Muppet Babies?
I thought we were crossing off Animaniacs and Muppet Babies as the two meta cartoons.
No, we're not getting rid of. Okay, we're not getting rid of meta. I'm just saying Animaniacs just can't exist.
All right,
and was trying to recreate what Looney Tunes did. Oh, I mean, not that they didn't bring new things to it.
Well, I'm pointing this out because we are going to have to start eliminating them.
Yeah,
I think we can eliminate the Animaniacs.
We can.
Candidates on the list. They're great. And there are certainly people who would
like Grape Ape, for instance.
Grape Ape, definitely top of the list.
Yeah,
I love if you've never seen
wait.
Grape
did we
Ape.
We forgot Mr. Jaws?
Oh, Jabberjaws, you mean?
And
the curly.
No, aren't there? There's
curly
two.
The
no, there's two different
curly
ones.
The shark?
There's the Mr. Jaws is the one who you gotcha.
I don't remember.
You don't remember?
Wait, wasn't that the catchphrase from?
No, he was he had a top hat and he talked like. Who did he talk like? Bela Lugosi? No, he talked like Otto Preminger, I think.
Good Lord.
Perfect for kids.
Yeah.
Huge. Otto Preminger, he's huge in the kids.
All right. So I'm adding Otto Preminger cat to this
general.
And just cutting and scratching it right off. All right. So let me do this now. We have Super Friends and X-Men both on here.
Oh man, Super Friends is a landmark television show.
Yeah.
But X-Men is so good. Right?
I didn't I didn't watch it thoroughly because I was like kind of a grown man at that point. I mean, I was, you know, I was.
But
like,
when it was on, you would indulge.
I was early college age, and I would watch it sometimes. And because I had been a huge comic book fan, I know, I was reading the comics. So I mean, but it could only disappoint me at that point because it's not drawn as well as a comic book, or they're, you know, simplifying the story or whatever. But it felt like a pretty high quality thing to me.
It's worth revisiting, and I think it's on Netflix.
Yeah.
Just to see. It's a lot of like Dark Phoenix Saga stuff, but they mix it. They have a mix. They have Rogue and Jubilee are part of it. But they nail the characters, surprisingly.
Yeah, yeah.
Gambit, who was huge in the 90s, is in there. What do you think, Mark? Do you Super Friends?
Out of the two of these, I watched a little bit of X-Men. It seemed for me too complicated. As a kid, I was like, this is a little complicated.
Right.
X-Men was the one I would skip.
Okay.
Usually I would watch.
On the other hand, Super Friends is garbage. but we just love it.
Yeah. It's Super Friends. I mean, it's
even the name Super Friends.
It's taking these great iconic characters and giving them a little kid incarnation so that it's not all just the comic book versions.
Isn't the Saturday morning cartoon supposed to be junk?
Cereals. You're right. You're absolutely right.
So X-Men goes.
If the comic books are Cheerios, then Super Friends is Sugar Crisp.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it's probably.
So X-Men is too good, and
it might be too good.
Super Friends is more.
I feel like I just blew your mind.
You did. Jackson, you just made me. You're looking at my face, like staring into the distance. I get the 100-yard stare. So you're right. This is making me rethink everything. This is what I love about your show sometimes, though. Like when you arrive at these things and you go, oh, you know, you're right. When you really take everything into account. So yeah, it's not necessarily about quality or entertainment value.
What's the most emblematic of a Saturday morning cartoon?
Oh. Wow. This changes everything.
So I'd say we keep Super Friends, right?
Do you want to make a whole new list that's just Grape
Ace? Oh, my God. No, but now you're blowing my mind. Now this makes me feel like we have to have a comedy and an adventure side of it, you know? Like,
well, one will rise up.
Right.
Over all.
Because those are the two fists of the, you know.
Yeah.
The Saturday morning.
That's true.
Gladiator. I don't know.
Well, we only so of what we have on this list, the only ones that have made it this far are Super Friends and X-Men.
No, Looney Tunes.
No, I mean of Adventure.
Right.
Action.
Sure.
I would say
no, but also
carries that gap.
Oh no! Oh my God! I think I've just realized where this is going.
All right, go ahead.
Because we're not. I think we're going to end up on Scooby-Doo. Because it's the combination.
You just flashed forward.
We you might land on Scooby-Doo. Oh, my God. No.
Are you questioning everything?
It's both halves of that create the perfect Saturday morning experience. It's the cereal and the milk.
Are we calling it right now? Do we need to talk?
Oh, and then you brought it back to cereal. You guys are amazing. I love this.
Okay, you know what?
I love this. Nobody can talk me out of anything. And then you educated.
You enlightened me. Dare we go ahead and call it now?
I don't know. We got to talk. talk for a few more minutes.
All right.
Right?
Let's not freak Jackson out.
I'm sorry that I broke Jackson public, everybody.
No, because, I mean, of this list, absolutely, the best, the whole reason I ever care about cartoons is Looney Tunes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no one did cartoons the way Looney Tunes did. They are iconic. Every character is iconic. Yeah. They're
Oscar winning.
Yeah, they're actually funny. They're still funny today.
They're nearly perfect bits of entertainment.
There are still jokes that I'm only getting now because I happen to watch the right Humphrey Bogart movie for the first time in my life. You know,
reverent and smart.
Yeah,
they appeal on multiple levels.
Mm-hmm.
Which really early Disney stuff works sort of that way too. But there's something special. There's a special sauce in those early Looney Tunes shorts, and for me, it's pre Chuck Jones. Although I love a lot of Chuck Jones stuff, especially Roadrunner. But like those early, like 1940s,
right?
They're just incredible.
Yeah,
So
the Tex Avery ones are just lively, and they're just amazing. I still quote them, like it is still just informed the way I even talk. You know, whole conversations with my brother are either Bugs Bunny or Abbott and Costello. The only way we relate to each other at all.
Is it conversations about them or just quoting them?
Just quoting them or speaking in those cadences or just mm-hmm. using little sound bites from them to illustrate a point or to rank on each other or whatever it is. Yeah.
All right. If I may do this then, just to complicate things.
Wait, what's still on the list right now?
Well, here's what I'd like to do, if you guys are amenable to this.
I mean, between these titans.
Super Friends is excellent. The Smurfs are excellent. And the Pink Panther is excellent. But it feels like what this is coming down to is
Pink Panther. I don't think Pink Panther can be on the list anymore. It's just not. Also, like, not. I feel like that's a thing that only 10-15% of the Saturday morning audience cares about at all.
We should also mention Johnny Quest existed.
Was he Saturday? No, he was primetime.
Was he? Oh, he was a primetime cartoon?
Yeah.
All right, get lost, Johnny. What were you going to say, Mark?
I was going to say Pink Panther's great, the Super Friends are great, and the Smurfs are great. But, iconic, at the very least.
Right.
Mildly enjoyable while you're doing dishes.
Yeah.
But it's coming down to Scooby-Doo or Looney Tunes, which gives us the question, what are we looking for? Are we looking for the highest quality cartoons that happen to play on Saturday morning? Are we looking for the most quintessential Saturday morning cartoon?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Here's why it could be Scooby-Doo, although I think either one of them is a fine choice.
Right.
The Looney Tunes, the Bugs Bunny Roadrunner Hour, if I'm not mistaken, was all repackaged stuff.
Right.
It had originally run in theaters in the 40s, which is why Bugs Bunny has, I forget how many Oscars.
Yeah.
Right. They are superior cartoons, though.
They're absolutely superior cartoons.
Although they do get a leg up in that they had theatrical budgets. Yeah.
You've probably seen them. I mean, I'd seen What's Opera Doc a bunch of times before I saw it on a Saturday morning.
Can we give this to Scooby-Doo and just call Bugs Bunny or the Looney Tunes just the greatest cartoons of all time?
Oh my God, can we do that? Special double episode.
I would say certainly they are.
I mean, for invention, entertainment, humor,
it's very,
you know,
they're almost impossible to beat.
Yeah, I think
they're
so.
Almost impossible.
So, like, the things like Woody Woodpecker don't even come close.
No.
Woody Woodpecker's great.
Disney was never actually, like, funny. You know, like
movies are superior to Disney short cartoons.
Right.
Sure. Yeah, they did better long form than.
But how many of them, like,
short form?
Would make you laugh pretty hard if you saw one today. Like, I can go I can go on YouTube and find the one where it's not even like one of the major ones. The one where Bugs Bunny hassles two hillbillies, and you will laugh out loud like 20 times.
That's true.
Or even Robin Hood Daffy.
Oh my goodness!
You'll never stop laughing. Every tree he hits, you will laugh again.
In a way, you can't stop. And or Duck Dodgers in the 23rd and a half century.
Sure.
So are we ready to make a ruling or two rulings?
I think we need to make a ruling.
I think we know where this episode's ruling has to go.
All right. I think you might be right on the cereal and the milk principle. And if we want to be purists, you know, of the ones that are just pure Saturday morning cartoons, they were invented for that reason. Yeah, I think I hate to do it, but yeah, they are emblematic of the Saturday morning industry. They are the purest form of what that is, for better or worse.
I don't want to knock Scooby-Doo. I mean, you sound so dejected that it's not Looney Tunes. Scooby-Doo cartoons are excellent cartoons and have had many different incarnations. Some are good, some are not as good.
You have to be fair. He's coming to terms with a major realization.
That has
changed his perspective.
Yeah.
On the Saturday morning cartoon.
You came into this episode fully knowing what it was going to be.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, people of the world, probably a lot of you are going through the same feelings.
I think so, right?
Yeah, you have to be.
Yeah.
Because you all love your cartoons so much. The ones that you grew up with, the ones that you watched.
Right. All the people out there are going, screw you, Dungeons & Dragons.
Exactly.
It was Dungeons & Dragons.
Dungeons & Dragons that started with the roller coaster that they did in Magical Land. Yes, we've all seen it. We've all seen it. You don't have to tweet at us about it. We get it. But you need to understand that we've ruled that the greatest Saturday morning cartoon of all time has just had a rubber mask ripped off of its face to reveal there was Scooby-Doo all along. And they would have gotten away with it whether you kids were meddling or not because of the best Saturday morning cartoon asked and answered.
Boom.
Jackson, thank you for settling this with us.
Oh, you're welcome.
I don't know how I feel about it. Painful.
Yeah, it was. I've gone through a lot. I'm going to start voting Republican now. I think you've turned me around on everything.
We've done it. We completely changed it all.
We've turned him too far, Hal. We've turned him too far.
Season 6 of the Venture Brothers. For the second episode is coming this Saturday. Midnight?
Yeah. Right? No, not at all. Sundays at midnight.
Saturday night into Sunday.
No.
So turns to Sunday?
No.
Sunday evening.
Sunday night.
Sunday,
technically, the minute you start watching it, it's Monday morning.
All right. So there you go. And what better way to start your week than by watching the second episode of season 6 of The Venture? Now I feel like a morning DJ.
Yeah.
Like I've written down, what was it, November 3rd you got there for The Venture Boys? Check it out on HLN. It's on Cartoon Network. It's on Sunday evening into Monday morning at midnight on Adult Swim. And it's awesome. The portions of it I have recorded.
I'll show you more when we're done here.
Oh, let's put these microphones
away. Sneak peek. Yeah, put the mics away so I can give you a sneak peek on my computer.
Yeah, so real quick, you have a bunch of stuff that you want us to solve for you? Fine. Email us at wegotthispodcast@gmail.com or go to facebook.com/wegotthispodcast.
Or take a look at the Maximum Fun subreddit or reach out to us on Twitter @wegotthistweets. Thanks, as always, to Mike Furman and Jonathan Dinerstein for our award-winning song and score, respectively.
Thank you to producer Ken Plume, to researcher Kate McManus, and graphic designer Uri Kelman.
And thank you, as always, to you, our listeners. We keep making them, you keep listening to them, and we'll keep solving all of your arguments.
You keep getting this.
We will keep getting this.
Yeah. And give yourselves a hand, too.
Here. Oh.
Thank each other. Do you ever thank each other?
You know what, Hal? Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
There you go.
For Hal Loveland, I'm Mark Gagliardi.
For Mark Gagliardi, I'm Hal Loveland. And don't worry, everyone.
We got this.
We got this!
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.